Hello, this is Joe Rogan, and you are now listening to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast with your host, Miguel. Check it.
My father taught me many things here. He taught me in this room.
He taught me, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Even if a samurai's head were to be suddenly cut off, he should still be able to perform one more action with certainty.
Let them think you are sleeping. Your victory will become their nightmare. Never put too much trust in friends. Learn how to use your enemies.
I spend my life trying not to be careless. Women and children can be careless, but not men.
Weak men always wait for the perfect time to take action, which never arrives. Strong men just take action in the eternal moment of now. This is episode 235. Everything you hear on this podcast episode is non-commercial, fair use, Creative Commons license. We have a great episode today. We're going to cover a book by the name of The Way of the Superior Man. And the author of that is David Dida. It's really a book on manhood and what it is to be a man. Again, if you're a woman, I'm sure you can benefit from it. It's the whole polarity, masculine, feminine, up, down, high, low. David does a really exceptional job uncovering this book. This book is a real sleeper because I'm surprised I haven't heard a lot more about this book. I kind of bumped into it by mistake. And if you go back into my archives, which are really rich in good content, back in episode 154, I did a mashup between the 48 Laws of Power and The Way of the Superior Man, this book that we're covering today. And the thing that I love about this book is it just constantly nails it, hits it. And it's amazing how, again, there's like the last episode that I did, that three-part episode. There's no noise. It's just all signal. As you listen to it, you realize that it's speaking directly to you and it's hitting points, whether it hurts your feelings or kind of motivates you to do better. It doesn't matter, but it's what you need. Sometimes you need that kick in the pants, the encouragement, or basically to have that reflection where you hear somebody else thinking in the same way that you think, you know, or expressing the same views that you think. Because in the world we are today, you know, everybody's concerned about feelings. Like, they'll hear the title of the book, The Way of the Superior Man, and they get into it and say, oh, well, the superior man, so you think you're better than everyone, and, you know, you're a man, and that means you're superior. None of that, man. And that's the problem that we're in right now, because I notice as time goes on, they're trying to take our manhood away from us. They're trying to take the masculine away. And again, they want us with the fuzzy bunny slippers and the rabbit ears or the cat whisker ears, you know. It's ridiculous, man. It's weird, but I was on YouTube and I was watching. I don't want to get into the guy's name, but he gets into self-protection and, you know, police stuff, you know, events, incidents that happen on the news, you know, with shootouts and stuff. And he kind of covers it, police stuff, you know, where they either mess up or they do the right job. But the same guy, he's in the shooting range and he's shooting like a 357 Magnum and everything like that. But he's got bunny ears clipped, cat ears clipped onto his head. And I'm like, you know, the self-defense part is cool, but where do the cat ears come? And, you know, so, yeah, I do understand that there's a yin and yang and positive and negative and the balance of all things. Well, why can't a man wear cat ears? I get it. You'll just never see me wearing cat ears at a gun range. You know what I'm saying? So let's get into the episode. He had so many tremendous. And another observation I made of the book is that Yes, you know, there are many great books like The Book of Five Rings, 48 Laws of Power, The Tao Te Ching, you know, so many great books out there. But there's a uniqueness to this book in that it encompasses elements of manhood, what it is to be a man, of self-realization, of self-optimization, and it does it in a very unique way, hitting. Like one of the points that I really love is that David Dowda in this book, The Way of the Superior Man, he says that, and I'm paraphrasing, but he's saying that, you know, most men, they sit and wait for a specific moment in time so that they can take action or do something. Or one day when I graduate high school, or one day when I graduate college, I'm going to do these things. And inevitably that moment never comes. So what happens is man is waiting an eternal number of moments to self-actualize, and it never happens because he's too busy counting the days or counting the moments, and he's not taking action, right? The eternal moment is now. And actually, now that I mentioned that, I just did a new intro to the podcast, so it'd be great to get a little bit of feedback on that. It took me a few hours to get that done, but I think it came out pretty good. So anyway, let's get into The Way of the Superior Man by the author David Dowda. And let's get into it and praise Yeshua HaMashiach's merciful name. Let's get into it.
Can you become a superior man? What does that even look like? Can you really live at your edge at all times? We're discovering that in this week's book review, The Way of the Superior Man. Hey, what's up, guys? Clark. Back from ClarkDanger.com. A lot of books say the same things, over 300 pages. So what we're doing on this series is condensing down the best books into their 10 ideas and putting them in a format that we can consume faster than reading a 300-500 page book. You know, right off the bat, Superior Man, that's kind of a charged title, especially in this PC era where everything has to be prefaced for 10 minutes before we say one thing. And so, to clarify it, you know, because I'm sure the comments will start pouring in, superior man, that's so sexist, or insert whatever blank. Superior man does not mean superior to others. Superior man means the best version of yourself. Okay, I hope that's clear, because that's a really important distinction that, you know, this book, these ideas, it's not about dominating everyone else. It's not about going out there and puffing your chest in a bar with a Harley. It's just about upgrading your mission, your core, your purpose as a man in this world. And even if you're a woman and you want to understand men better, this is a great book to get some ideas going. Last thing, if you're a regular viewer of this series, be sure in the comments down below, you're commenting your favorite idea, and if you've read the book, something you want to add to this video, okay? It's really important. Keep the discussion going. I love seeing comments down there. Big idea number one, this is the idea of polarity. I read this book when I was 18, and this one concept really opened my eyes to a viewpoint of the world that has stuck with me ever since, and that is the concept of polarity. If you look at everything, there's night and day. There's hot and cold, there's east and west, there's up and down, north, south, fill in the blank. Well, there's masculine and feminine, and these are two energies at play. And just like you have a positive side of a magnet and a negative side of the magnet, they attract each other together. And the more charged they are, the stronger the attraction is. Now, masculine and feminine energy does not mean male and female. You can have a very feminine male attracted to a very masculine female. You see that a lot. Or vice versa, you know, you can have a very masculine man to a very feminine woman, but whatever the opposite is, you will be attracted to based on how strong their charge is. And this is really great stuff, because once we identify that, look, it's two halves that make up a whole oftentimes, you know, with polarities in life all around us, with polarities inside of a relationship, we can start learning from the other person and their perspective. For example, if you're in a relationship, you know, I'm a pretty, I'd say balanced man in terms of energies on polarity scale. But if you're like me, you don't often have that extreme feminine side viewpoint. So I'm in a relationship, like with my current girlfriend, she's able to see things way more clear or differently than I am from my very logical left-sided brain. It's just really cool to have two different viewpoints together that can broaden your perspective. So this book's all about using those polarities, that north-south male-female, hot-cold night-day, the two halves that make up a whole, and growing more together in a relationship and bringing out that side of your partner and growing more together than you could alone. Because at the end of the day, if you can grow more alone than with the person you're with, you shouldn't be in that relationship first off. And then second, there's no point to it. What's the point of being in a relationship if you can't grow together? So that's what this book's about, is dancing with that polarity, dancing with the tension of the masculine energy and the feminine energy, which sometimes operate in completely different ways. Not right or wrong, just as different as night and day. And how do we dance with that? How do we understand it better? So ultimately, we can grow more together. Point number two, stop hoping for completion. Let me know if you relate to this. You know, growing up, I was in, I can remember being in middle school and going through, you know, the 9-to-5 grind of being in school all day and saying, you know what, I just can't wait till I get to high school, because when I get to high school, I'll have so much more freedom, right? And what happens? You get to high school and then you're like, man, this kind of sucks too. I can't wait till I get to college because college will be so much better. You get independence, you live with friends, your classes, you choose. So I got to college, and then when I was in college, I said, this isn't what I thought I wanted. I'll just stick out college, because when I finally graduate, I can become an entrepreneur and start exploring these ideas, these videos, what I want to do, right? And so now that I'm an entrepreneur, now that I'm doing this and finding out it is way harder than I had ever thought, in any of those stages in my life, I catch myself falling into the trap of saying, this is fine, I love making these videos, I love creating content, but one day, I'm doing all this so I can one day retire and live on a beach with pina coladas and $30 million. Or I'm doing everything in my life right now so I can one day, you know, work these 40 years, retire, and that's when the real journey begins. That's when the real fun starts. And I think that mentality that I see in myself from middle school to now is hoping for completion. That's what David Deida means when he says, stop hoping for completion. Stop living this moment in preparation for the one day finish line mentality. We got to start being here and now, because when, you know, you're in middle school and you're going into high school, well, then it's easy to be in high school and look back on middle school and be like, we had it so good. Why didn't I enjoy that more? Or if you went to college, look back on college. Those are some of your best times in life. But in college, you're so stressed out about what's next, what's next, what's next. We don't enjoy it. Stop hoping for completion means that striving that men fall into, especially with, you know, the ego and achieving and business success or whatever, that striving, that constant hitting the gas pedal, what's next, is what will take away from your joy and happiness in life. A really good subpoint here is on success fantasies. I've talked to friends who have these grandiose ideas of starting a business, and they have all these ideas. Clark, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. You know, I'm going to create content. I'm going to push it out. It's going to be great. I'm going to have hundreds of thousands of people liking my stuff. You know, one day I'll be making millions of dollars. And that's all great, but the irony there is that all of that, what they want, is going to take work, it's going to take reframing your approach, it's going to take years and years of dedication. So the only way they're going to get that is if they start sooner. But why aren't they starting sooner? Because that initial phase of the grind of startup takes so long, it's almost more enjoyable to have that fantasy in your head of the one day it'll all be better. So this is what I call a success fantasy, where you're putting off doing the work because projecting outwards is actually more pleasurable than the process to get there. You know, I saw this all the time when I was doing health podcasts and corresponding through email with people. A lot of times the reason they didn't take serious massive action behind a diet or health regimen wasn't because they didn't know what to do. It's because they were carrying around the fantasy of one day I'll be healthy, I'll be ripped, or I'll have tons of energy, or, you know, vitality, I'll finally look good, whatever. And that was almost more pleasurable than the amount of work it took to get there, right? So stop hoping for completion. Start whatever you want today. Ditch the success fantasies and get on the path of trying to bring all your awareness to the now and the here. Number three, live at your real edge, don't fake it. 32,850. That is the amount of days we have from birth till 90 years old. You know, rough average, give or take 5-10,000 of those, that's about what most people live. Now, what's interesting about that number? Is it smaller than you thought it was? When I heard that for the first time, it really impacted me. And that's why a lot of you who watch this channel regularly, you've seen the journal videos. It's right there, front and center of the journal. I think I got somewhere 24,000. I got 24,090 days left now. So if we had a dollar for every day we lived in this world, we'd only have $32,850. That's not a whole lot, right? That's not a massive amount. Living at the real edge in this book means to take each one of those 32,000 days and just live at your real edge. Push beyond what you thought was possible for your potential. These aren't days we can just put on autopilot. So going on those 32,000 days, living at your edge, I want to read a quote from here. I think it's the best quote in the book. It is honorable for a man to admit his fears, resistance, and edge for practice. It is simply true that each man has a limit, his capacity for growth, and his destiny. But it is dishonorable for him to lie to himself and others about his real place. He shouldn't pretend he is more enlightened than he is, nor should he stop short of his actual edge. The more a man is playing his real edge, the more valuable he is as good company for other men. The more he can be trusted to be authentic and fully present. Where a man's edge is located is less important than whether he is actually living his edge in truth rather than being lazy and deluded. He then goes on to say, on lean just beyond your edge. In any given moment, a man's growth is optimized if he leans just beyond his edge. His capacity, his fear. He should not be too lazy, happily stagnating the zones of security and comfort. Nor should he push far beyond his edge, stressing himself unnecessarily, unable to metabolize his experience. He should lean just beyond his edge of fear and discomfort, constantly, in everything he does. Big things there. First are 32,850 days. Learn them, master them, get them down. Second, know where our edge is. We got to locate, okay, if we can do, let's go with the gym analogy, you know, 18 reps in the gym, that's my edge. And then lean just beyond it is how we get growth. So if you can do 18, try and do 19 or 20. Don't try and do 30. That's how you get injured and go too far. Don't try and do 10 because that's how you lose the progress. Lean just beyond your edge at all times in everything you do. And that's how you're going to start maximizing those 32,850 days. Number four, never change your mind just to please your woman, or anyone for that matter. If you're a woman, never change your mind. If you're a man, never change your mind. This doesn't mean don't listen to their opinion and make an educated decision moving forward. What this is getting at is saying trust yourself, trust your gut. And oftentimes, we listen to other people and change our mind as a safety mechanism. Let me explain. If someone tells you to do X, Y, and Z, and you listen, you change your mind and you do it, if it fails, it was their idea, so now you don't have to take the blame, right? But if it succeeds, you also don't get the credit, so you no longer trust yourself anymore because it was their idea. So the way, never change your mind to please your woman, your someone, whomever, means listen to yourself, because if now you're going from your truths, your ideas, and it fails, you get that feedback. Failure is feedback. You get that. You can change your approach. But if you never listen to yourself, you won't get that feedback. And on the other side, you won't get the confidence when something works. So now it's double-sided because you won't get the feedback to learn and you won't get the confidence to learn. Number five, discover your purpose today. This goes back to one of the oldest concepts in philosophy, know thyself, right? Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, it's always what they would say. It was engraved on their big temple right there, know thyself. It's kind of self-actualization, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. This is what gets talked about over and over again. Martin Seligman, founder of positive psychology, authentic happiness, said after studying tens of thousands of people, how do we make them happier? You know, we've gotten good at bringing people up from depression and getting them to baseline where they can function, but we're not so good at how to take people from baseline and raise their happiness as high as it can go. He said that the secret to doing that was to know your strengths and use them often. That was it. So he created his signature strengths test. You can get, I think it's authentichappiness.com. I'll post a link in the description below. And he has 24 signature strengths. To even discover your purpose, let's change that. To discover your strengths and start using them. So I would go to there, take the free assessments, 100% free. I don't make any money recommending it. It's just something I'm really passionate about and I've benefited a lot from. I would do that right now. Number 6, enjoy your friend's criticism. David Deada says that we need to enjoy our friend's criticism. It's like last week when we were going over Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich on the concept of a mastermind. And that when you get a room of people together and they're able to give you honest, constructive criticism on how to change things, they're not only able to give you pointers on how you can change, but you're able to get 20, 40, 100, 200 years of wisdom, insights of all the people in the room added up together, and you're able to tap into that. It's a way faster way you can change your approach if something's not working. But welcoming criticism, welcoming feedback, this is all great stuff, and we shouldn't run from it or get defensive like most people do. You know, most people, they hear criticism, and assuming it's brought up in a polite manner, right? Because there is a difference between giving criticism and just being an asshole and insulting someone, right? Huge difference. But if you do it in a tactful way, if you're giving criticism in a tactful way, instead of seeing that as a threat and getting defensive or giving excuses, try and honestly hear what they're trying to say. Point number 7, do not use your family as an excuse. Obviously, at this stage of my life, I don't really have the excuse of a family, but I definitely have excuses that can get in the way of why I can't fill in the blank, or I can't go on my purpose, or I can't start my business, I can't do whatever. So it's going to look a little different right now if you have a family, if you have a 9-to-5 job, steady income, benefits, salary, all that. Yes, that's going to look completely different. What David's saying in here is that you can't use that as an excuse. There's two options. If you want to live a life that you've always dreamed of, if you want to go after traveling, if you want to build your business, if you want to get in a great relationship, whatever you want, or whatever you're striving towards, whatever your goals are, the first option is to keep using the same excuses we've all been using throughout our whole life. I did. I used them tons. I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I don't have the resources. You know, I'm not the right age. I'm not the right whatever. All right, that's a way. But the second reason is what he's saying right here is don't use that as an excuse. You know, if we want to build it, we got to do the work. We just got to start today and start going after it. When I was in Southeast Asia year ago, I was amazed with, yes, the culture, yes, everything else, but the diversity of people who were traveling from all around the world. Doing the exact same thing as I was, this post-college 20-something-year-old, right? Traveling around on a backpack solo. But they were 50 years old. They were 60 years old. Some even had, I ran into a family at a hostel eating breakfast. I started talking to them. They were from Norway. It was like a family of 5 from Norway, all traveling in hostels together. And I started going into like, how did you leave your job? How did you do this? And they asked for time off and they got it. And so, you never know if you don't ask, and that's just one example of traveling right there. But whatever it is you want to do, don't use whatever excuse you're constantly going to. When we were going over Rich Dad, Poor Dad the other week, Robert Kiyosaki said, instead of saying, I can't afford it, start asking yourself the question, how can I afford it? And that was a really cool point, because if you make that distinction of how can I afford it, going from I can't afford it, now you're coming up with solutions. Now you're getting resourceful. Now you're problem solving. But if you let yourself stay in that I can't afford it phase, you're never going to be able to afford it, because that's a trap. That's a mindset. That's locking you there in the first place. Again, kind of in line with the theme of this book, it's never going to get any easier. We just got to start today and eliminate excuses. Number 8, praise her freely. You know, as a man in a relationship, I had the habit of being Mr. Fix-It. That if something was broken, I just, you know, get my tools out and fix it, because that's what we do. And it was very toxic. And so in relationship, you know, with my girlfriend, she said, Clark, sometimes I don't need you to fix things. I don't need you to fix my problems. I just need you to listen. And I got so confused, because why are you telling me this if you don't want solutions, if you don't want to fix? And she was telling me that in the talking about it, in the conversation, that's the support which actually in turn fixes the problem, or that she can come to her own conclusion, or what she needs to do is just praise. So we gotta get out of the habit as men of the Mr. Fix-It hat over and over again, especially in relationships. In the book, David goes over the fact that men tend to grow through challenge. As a kid, it was, I bet you can't jump over that fence, or I bet you can't ask out that girl, or, you know, you get older and it's, I bet you can't make $1 million. And men tend to get off on that challenge, right? They oh yeah, I'm gonna prove you wrong. All that motivation. And he says that women grow through praise. They have the complete opposite wiring, that you need to praise them and praise them often, encourage them, that they see your challenges, if you're nagging them or you're criticizing them. We do that as men to make ourselves better, to challenge and egg each other on. But if you do that to women constantly, they're going to see that as a threat and feel discouraged and feel defeated. So you need to support them. You need to encourage them. You need to give them constant affirmations and compliments. And not that it's not okay to challenge them, but if you want them to grow and continue to flourish, emphasis on the praise. Just look at the YouTube comments. You know, you go to any beauty video and it's, that looks so awesome on you, or slay, or I love, insert the blank on the article of clothing. It's this constant affirmation. Versus if you go to the guys, I don't know what videos guys watch, like fitness videos, it's, oh, you could have done X, Y, and Z better. It's just negativity. It's just challenge after challenge after challenge, right? You see this over and over again. Point number 9, live as if your father was dead. At a certain age, you have to rid yourself of the expectations your parents set on you. If you want to live a life that's unique to you, you need to stop looking to your parents for affirmation. That doesn't mean you don't love them. It doesn't mean you don't value their opinions. It just means you need to source your decisions from where you are and what you know best on. Number 10, hear her complaints as warning bells. David's saying here that when a woman nags you in a relationship or is constantly getting on your case about a certain issue, let's go with the dishes one, and you don't do it, what she's really saying is get it together. By you telling her something, yes, I will put away the dishes, and you don't do it, it's not that you didn't put away the dishes. It's that she can't trust the deeper message there, that you don't hold up doing what you say. That is the more concerning part than dishes on the sink. It's not that you didn't clean the garage 2 weeks ago. Let's go with cliches. It's that you didn't hold up the integrity that you said you were going to do it. It's that you forgot about it. It's that she asked you to do something, you didn't prioritize it. So in turn, that means you don't prioritize her. It's always the deeper meaning. So her complaints as warning bells, every time she's nagging, every time she's complaining, try to take it at the deeper layer instead of the surface layer. Try to read it as her trying to improve you through challenge, not nagging constantly and being just a constant burden. All right, that's it. Those are the 10 best ideas from The Way of the Superior Man. Literally probably could have done all 50 or so in here. And, you know, a 20, 30 minute video can't really do this book justice. It is just packed cover to cover. And again, one of my most gifted books out there. Remember to post your comment down below on the best idea. Do you agree on any of these? Do you disagree on any of these points? Let it out down below, okay? If you've read the book, add something to the discussion in the comments. If you would like to further your self-development, your improvement, I have a course, The Ultimate Guide to Keeping a Journal. It's all walk you through in under 4 hours how to start, keep, and master a journal. One of the number one things you can do to develop yourself as a man, as a human being, as a person in this world. It's up at mybestjournal.com. Lots of people have been doing it already. We've been getting great feedback. Also, if you want something for free, I love doing freebies. Just click the link below on the 11 questions to change your life. This will get you on the mailing list and stay up to date on all the latest and greatest videos, content, and be first on the list to get updates. That's it, guys. Thank you so much for watching this video. Next week, if you want a little sneak peek, Nathaniel Brandon, 6 Pillars of Self-Esteem. Excited to dig into this one, packed full of good ideas. Until then, stop settling, start living. See you next time.
Welcome to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. I like to cover topics from ancient history, great leaders and generals from the past, And I also like to talk about self-realization, truth, critical thinking, and strategic spirituality. Outside the box, nonconformist. I'm here to shatter the myths of the mainstream media and the beta sheeple narrative.
I do want to thank you guys for listening. Praise Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Praise Jesus Christ's name. My Linktree is Alpha Male Buddhist Pod. Links are in the show note descriptions of this episode below. There in my Linktree, you will find links to my Instagram, Telegram, Rumble, Odyssey, Twitter, and my free episode archives. If you're a new listener, I have also included links to my top rated episodes. These are specific episodes of the podcast that are the most popular and listeners have given me the most positive feedback on. Some of these episodes are also in video format, so you can not only listen to the episode, but you can watch the accompanying video to that episode. Also, contact me for my free Academy of Liberation handbook, which is in PDF format, along with a free audiobook version of the handbook. So check out the show notes below of this episode for all of my content links. This podcast is hosted on the Podbean platform, so my website there is alphamalebuddhist.podbean.com.